voy a llamar a un llamar. Yo soy la mamá, voy a llamar a un llamar. Llamo la tira. Bala Fakir Bada Dari Maya Shara Nama Nama Baja Jana Ranjana Maya Shara Nama Nama Baja Jana Ranjana. Jammu Natira Banna Chari, Jammu Natira Banna Chari, Jai Papu Pada Jaya Papu Pada Papu Pada Jaya Papu Pada. Shila Prabhupada, Dhyana Vishnu Pada, Paramahansa Paravacakachaya, Asa Tara Tara Shishanath, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Shiro Prabhupada, Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter Pure Devotional Service, reading text 10. Akama sarvakamova, moksha kama udardhi, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. Please chant. Akama, one who has transcended all material desires. Sarvakama, one who has a sum total of material desires. Va, either. Mokshakama, one who desires liberation. Udardhi, with broader intelligence. Tivrena, with great force. Bhakti Yogena, by devotional service to the Lord. Yajeta, should worship. Purusham, the Lord. Param, the supreme whole. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the supreme whole, the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama, or the Supreme Personality. It is He only who can award liberation to the impersonalists by absorbing such aspirants in the Brahmajyoti, the body rays of the Lord. The Brahmajyoti is not separate from the Lord, as a glowing sun ray is not independent of the sun disk. Therefore, one who desires to merge into the Supreme Impersonal Brahmajyoti must also worship the Lord by Bhakti Yoga, as recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Yoga is especially stressed here as a means of all perfection. In the previous chapters, it has been stated that Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal of both Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. And in the same way, in this chapter, it is emphatically declared that Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal of the different varieties of worship of the different demigods. Bhakti Yoga, thus, being the supreme means of self-realization, is recommended here. Everyone must, therefore, seriously take up the methods of Bhakti Yoga, even though one aspires for material enjoyment or liberation from material bondage. Akama is one who has no material desire. A living being, naturally being the part and parcel of the supreme whole Purusham Param, Purnam, has as his natural function to serve the supreme being, just as the parts and parcels of the body or the limbs of the body are naturally meant to serve the complete body. Desirous bliss means, therefore, not to be inert like the stone, but to be conscious of one's actual position and thus desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness as bhajananiya parampusha sukha matrasva sukhatvam in his Santarbha. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifested even during the conditioned stage of a living being in the material world, and such intuition is expressed in the manner of altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism, etc., by the undeveloped minds of less intelligent persons. In the mundane field, such an outlook of doing good to others in the form of society, community, family, country, and humanity is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling, in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Such superb feelings were exhibited by the damsels of Brajabhumi for the happiness of the Lord. The gopis loved the Lord without any return, and this is a perfect exhibition of the akama spirit. Kama spirit, or the desire for one's own satisfaction, is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the spirit of akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. Thoughts of becoming one with the Lord or being merged in the Brahmajyoti can also be exhibitions of kama spirit if they are desires for one's own satisfaction to be free from material miseries. A pure devotee does not want liberation so that he may be relieved from the miseries of life. Even without so-called liberation, a pure devotee is aspirant is aspirant for the satisfaction of the Lord. Influenced by the Kama spirit, Arjuna declined to fight in the Kurukshetra battlefield because he wanted to save his relatives for his own satisfaction. But being a pure devotee, he agreed to fight on the instruction of the Lord because he came to his senses and realized the satisfaction of the Lord at the cost of his own satisfaction was his prime duty. Thus he became Akama. That is a perfect stage of a perfect living being. Udardehi means one who has a broader outlook. People with desires for material enjoyment worship small demigods, and such intelligence is condemned in Bhagavad Gita 7.20 as Hrittagyan, the intelligence of one who has lost his senses. One cannot obtain any result from demigods without getting sanction from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a person with a broader outlook can see that the ultimate authority is the Lord, even for material benefits. Under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with the desire for material enjoyment or for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. And everyone, whether an Akama or Sakama or Mokshakama, should worship the Lord with great expedience. This implies that bhakti yoga may be perfectly administered without any mixture of karma and jnana. As the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and is therefore called tivra. Similarly, unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing, chanting, etc. may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. So there's been many options that the conditioned soul can take to get relief from their suffering. We're all rebellious souls, and we're all suffering. And some of the ones with a little bit of intelligence to realize that I don't want to have to go through this again. I want to get out of here. So we've been reading of all the different options: the materialists, the jnanis, the yogis, the meditators, and the, as we've been hearing lately, all the different kinds of demigods you can worship. We covered a fraction of the 3 million that you can worship to get something better, to get us out of this big mess that we're in. We have to admit that it's a very stressful situation that we're in here. So Srila Prabhupada is, especially in this purport, is expressing that one must recognize Krishna overall, of all these different desires, that the real fulfilling agent is Krishna. Krishna is the factor that we have to put into the equation to really get out of the situation. And therefore, this verse, amongst many others, but outstandingly, is describing that the worship of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord, is most essential and should be taken up by those who have a little bit of intelligence. They should realize that there is this supreme factor behind us. So the Lord here is willing to accept anyone, even if they have these desires. He's willing to accept them. And the spiritual master also is willing to accept. This verse actually reminds me of the Pavitrava verse that Prabhupada always gives in every initiation, because it very much parallels that open embrace of all living entities, no matter what you're thinking, that if you just take to this worship, then I'll accept you back. So no matter what you're pure or impure, if you have this desire or that desire, just somehow or other take to devotional service. And so Krishna's willing to do his part. The Guru is willing to do his part to accept us back, taking that risk of taking so many disciples, as Srila Prabhupada did and so many other great devotees have done. And so we have to do our part. We have to be willing to give and to give and to give back to the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and to the disciplic session and, of course, to Sri Krishna. So this is a very nice verse, and it reminds me of that we all do have some desire. We're tinged. I mean, I felt a little guilty when it came to this part in the purport saying that even if you want to do devotional service just to get out of here, it's still a desire, you know? I mean, who doesn't want to get out of here? But with that little bit of desire still is a little impurity. It's not the perfection. But Prabhupada would say that out of the mercy, he would just say that even the person who's drinking wine, if they just think that, oh yes, this is a taste of Krishna, that purification alone will help them, you know, get back there eventually. So if one can somehow or other remember the Supreme Lord. Everyone knows who Genevieve Harrison is. She's a very, very nice kirtan leader in the movement. Beautiful voice, attracts many, many people. And if you ever go on her YouTube and listen to her, she rents these places in London and different places, and they have, it's called a mantra lounge. And many, many people come to hear the holy name. And they go around and they show her really nice display of wonderful musicians. She has it really together, very nice atmosphere and everything. But hundreds of people come, and it shows their faces during the kirtan. And they're all sitting there, kind of imitating her a little bit, just really absorbed. And they're all, you know, sitting up straight, and some are like, you know, I don't know where they are. But you wonder what kind of desires all those people are in sitting in that room. Some of them might be, may never even know who Krishna is, but somehow they're attracted to the holy name, or they're attracted to how she sings, or the instruments, or anything, but they're receiving this mercy. I'm sure they all have different desires. You know, maybe someone thinks it's really cool to come to these things. Someone else wants a new mantra. Someone else is thinking, yeah, maybe I'll see the white light. Who knows what all they're thinking? And I'm sure when Prabhupada was initiating people, he's probably thinking, I wonder what this disciple is thinking. What's their aspiration? What's their motivation for this? And many of them didn't even know what initiation was, but Prabhupada accepted them. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Something like the Statue of Liberty, that welcomes all. Give me your poor. Give me your, in other words, give me your ones that are desiring this, ones that are desiring that. But come, and I will accept you back. So it's kind of that, in that mood. Before the 60s, there really wasn't any definition of spiritual advancement. I guess everyone had their own kind of definition. I guess the hippies thought that, you know, free love was spiritual. It was love, what, some sort. And then there's the TM people that thought, oh, now I've got a long-haired guru and I've got a mantra and I'm in the in crowd or something like this. So, and then when Prabhupada came and brought the Hare Krishna mantra, and they're thinking, oh, another awesome, awesome way to, you know, transcend and you know, stay high forever. That was where their attraction. But then it became very obvious that we couldn't be lumped into this. Off came the hair. So that killed it for many of the hippies, because that was their symbol. And then on came the rose, and then study, and then the do's and the don'ts. It became a little bit serious, that this spiritual stuff was serious, that this is a way to actually, if you really want to advance, you have to learn how to surrender. And this is what this is discussing here, that this is the perfection, is actually when you can learn the art of taking vows and surrendering this lifetime, separating the men from the boys. If you really want to make spiritual advancement, then you learn how to accept Krishna as your heart and soul. So this is devotional service is ready to embrace all, and there's different levels and different motivations, but the greatest is to have that pureness of heart, of giving your hearts, your words, your deeds, everything to Krishna. But in the meantime, we can give devotional service in so many different ways, just like after the Hatha Yoga class at these yoga things, in come the devotees, sit down, chant Hare Krishna. Immediately they take a step up off the bodily platform and they begin to contact Krishna. That spark begins to burn. Or else you go to some of these workshops, I think on the Caribbean islands and things like that, they have these spiritual workshops, transcendental workshops, and then they do karma yoga, and they do some bhakti. They learn how to kind of center their mind on, if the devotee's there, they learn, teach them how to offer food and things like that. So it's something that can add Krishna into their life. And as far as this demigod worship, I mean, I can't identify with it. I never knew what a demigod was. I didn't, you know, I can't really relate to, if you want this, you get that, you worship that, you get this. We have pages of, how many pages, I don't know, of how to get what you want. But we had a different situation here in the West. How do we get what we want? You smoke Marlboro, right? You're a self-made man. You got your hat on, you got your horse in there, you're strong, and you just rope in them successes. You rope in those happiness. That's how you get what you want. Right? Demigods, I don't know what a demigod is. But this is the American way. So Prabhupada, he was so kind. He corralled us in and started to tame us from this crazy mentality that we're all God. We don't need anybody else. We don't need to surrender it to anybody. We just need to smoke Marlboro, that's all. So this was an amazing thing that Prabhupada became such a general in the field and behind the scenes, writing his purports, that he was actually able to convince us that service to Krishna is the greatest thing. Worship Krishna. Don't worry about yourself. He was busy 24/7. Trying to make something out of us. And he was willing to work with all our desires. None of us came here without any desires. And some of us expressed them, and he said, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, and he would try to figure out how we could use that in Krishna's service. It was amazing, amazing how he could do that to encourage us, to keep us going. And here he's requesting, though, he's requesting that we expedite the situation. We expedite our devotional service and that we really make advancement and achieve this perfection by using our intelligence. Don't just take the stairs, take the elevator and encourage these other people to make advancement. So he kind of gently, but not so gently, puts down these other processes, and especially this do goodness type stuff. I think my sister, she would have a really hard time with this purport when it says that you're an underdeveloped mind and unintelligent. She's she claims to be a Buddhist. She's an esteemed teacher in the university, teaches socialism, and she's a wonderful do-gooder. She does good for everybody, but I think she would have a hard time the way Prabhupada really hits on that. But then Prabhupada smooths it out and he says that actually this is showing the natural intuition that the soul has to want to please Krishna. And he actually says this is, it's a partial manifestation of the original feeling, that bhakti feeling that is in all of us. Like it, we always hear, it's better to give than to receive. And this is very true because it comes from that instinct nature that we have to want to please Krishna. So we have to broaden our intelligence. Prabhupada is encouraging us here to broaden our intelligence and to see what our real position is. That we're simply loving, transcendental servant of Krishna. And so these other people, even though they have a process and they are trying to reach the Supreme, at least recognize that Krishna is that Supreme. And Srila Prabhupada was very expert to to create the mood where we wanted to worship Krishna. I had a little experience when I was very young, maybe 8 or 10, something like that. It was Christmas time, and I was pretty much known for not having one cell worth of religiousness in my body. I never wanted to go to church. I was like, you know, sports was it, you know, materialist, but whatever. And most kids are like that, I guess. But somehow or other, my sisters and I said, well, let's get in the spirit of Krishna. Let's get, you know, I'm at Christmas. So we put on sheets and we took the inside of the gift wraps thing, we wrapped them in red and we put, like it was fire, and we walked in and completely shocked our parents, singing Silent Night, the three of us walking in like saints. I have a picture of it. It was so not us, you know. But I actually thought, this is kind of, it's kind of reverence. It's kind of nice being, you know, worshiping. You know, it's a whole different thing. I actually got a little taste, you know, that atmosphere. And so that is what Prabhupada did. He brought us into these temples. He taught us how to do deity worship. And you can see, like right now, Jaini Tai is in ecstasy because his two girls are on the first time on this trip to Kishore Yatra, that's what it is. And they're like in bliss, you know, getting a taste of kirtan and you know, devotees and temples and just devotional service and bhakti and association of devotees and advanced devotees and service and everything you can get, a big shot in the arm. And so Prabhupada did. He shot us in the arm with devotional service, gave us so many wonderful things to do, so that we actually attached to worship, attached to serving Krishna. And so this is something that we should keep in mind, that this chanting in particular is a gift that keeps our spirit there. And of course, the morning program, the sadhana, this is something that like stokes our fire, so that all day long we're thinking in this mood of devotion, doing our service in the mood of devotion, putting our heart into it, making our life different from material to spiritual. These other processes are still at the bottom of the stairs. So we've all experienced that. Our desires, our list of desires, have gone down since we become devotees. They have been, it's a shorter list now. And that we are getting a little bit of purification, especially through this chanting process. And we want to make serving Krishna and satisfying Prabhupada our priority. And there's a nice, of course, it goes into the purity of the gopis, which is amazing. So I thought I'd just read this little part of a song. If Lord Gaura had not appeared as a Yuga avatar in this age of Kali, then what would have become of us? How could we have tolerated living? Who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of loving mellows that comprise the glory of Sri Radha? Who would have had the power to render ecstatic devotional service that follows in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja? Indeed, the clever expertise of the Braja gopis is a prerequisite for entering the supremely sweet forest of Vrindadevi. So we have to give credit to Lord Chaitanya for actually introducing this amazing process of chanting and all this knowledge of the topmost worship that we are learning through Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So we have to go, it's a long way from being selfish to selfless, but this form of worship definitely will help us. Otherwise, we're missing out. These other processes are missing out. I remember we went to the rainbow gathering and brought back this Buddhist to the temple. And he was, he looked around at the pictures, he goes, this is it. He just, you know, from his very personal, you know, dryness, he went to this nectar, and he became a devotee, by the way. Because it's so much richer, and we have like 9 flavors of devotional service we can taste, and then relish. Maharaj Ambarish, great king, he relished all of them. And Prabhupada's just asking us to taste a little bit of some of these nine wonderful flavors of devotional service, and become greedy, like Maharaj Ambarish, I want to do everything. So we can become greedy too and do all the services and immerse ourselves in all these different processes. So this chapter, Pure Devotional Service, we've worked our way up now to where Prabhupada is explaining that with this akama, without any desire, we can reach the perfection of being with Krishna. But we don't have to be a great scholar. We just have to be pure in heart. There is, one example in our movement, a former student of mine, mother got a brain tumor and was losing her body very quickly, became blind and everything. But she was went so internally, she had the ability and the mercy of Prabhupada to go internally, that she even revealed that, oh yes, I'm packing Krishna's lunch today, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So, very simple devotee, but having this realization, getting this pureness of heart. So we can't be lazy. Prabhupada encourages to expedite and to turn up the heat of the purification, and especially in the chanting. And Krishna will reveal himself to us accordingly. There's one devotee in our community who recently was in a situation where she was had to go through some traumatic experience and was feeling very lonely and in a different country and everything. And she was very worried because it was an important surgery and everything. And then all of a sudden, she got the darshan of Lord Nrisimhadev. So this can happen, and it will happen if we have that faith in the process. So we have to realize that this verse is inviting everyone, all the different people to come and find engagement in devotional service, despite the qualifications. And this is the mood of our ashram also, to figure out how we can not leave everyone at the bottom of the stairs. But unfortunately, not everyone's going to take the elevator. Very few, Prabhupada says. So we have an escalator. It's perfect. We get pushed on the escalator, and Lord Chaitanya's technology, modern technology of the holy name, we just sit on the escalator and we go. We don't have to do anything. We can just go back to Krishna. So easy. We just have to get attracted to the holy name. So this is a perfect process. So everyone is a candidate. We all can we just got to go around pushing everybody with this Hare Krishna mantra, and then we can take so many people back to Godhead, and ultimately they can become unmotivated and become pure devotees. We have this touchstone of the holy name, and it can get rid of that seed of sinful desire that is making us so miserable. So we can gradually become attracted to devotional service and take advantage of it. We have it right here in front of us. So there's one little nice thing I found in a song we were reading. We were chanting bhajans the other night, and it really struck me. Kind of fits in here with this mood of being there, right near Krishna. You deliver each of your devotees in unique ways. Alas, we who are bereft of devotion are standing here outside your door. Please, favorably, receive the news of our presence. Radhe Sham, Sham, Sham. So, Prabhupada is saying, here's these devotees. They're outside your door. And so, very hopefully, Krishna will allow us to come in. And he will deliver us in all different ways. But we have the process, so we should take it up. This is a recommended process of taking to devotional service. And of course, Prabhupada, out of his kindness, he prayed for us when he came to America and saw the situation that we were all in. and really not qualified at all. So he prayed that all living entities have come under the control of your illusory energy by your will, and they can also be released from the clutches of that illusion by your will. So he prayed in this song to make me qualified so that I can figure out how to present this in a nice way, get them to worship you, and to go back home, back to Godhead. And so this is a few thoughts. Maybe someone has some other additions. It's a nice topic to talk about devotional service, and it's something that we should try to dip into as much as we can, expedite the situation by becoming more serious. Prabhupada always at the initiation ceremonies would encourage us to take this serious, follow his instructions to the T, and then he will help us. To go back home, back to God. Okay, go ahead.
Hari Bol, very nice class. You're talking about Janavi. Janavi is a melodious singer, but she sings from the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, you can feel it really. And even the people in the audience, you can see, they all relish it, you know. They don't know why, but I mean, they can feel that really. All the time. I listen to her all the time. She sings so much from the heart. Yeah, very nice. If we can do that really, that'd be really great.
That's the real art of kirtan. Yes.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very nice class. So on desire, willingness for the well-being of our kids and our children, and you know, and desires that they will settle down in their life, you know, and become devotee. Is that considered material desire or spiritual desire?
Well, it's your duty. And Prabhupada said you should not become a parent or a spiritual master unless you think you can deliver them. So, if you want to really do your duty properly, and then you can desire that they become elevated. Prabhupada was desiring that all his disciples get liberated also. So yes, this is a nice desire to help help everyone go back home, back to Godhead. So you can expand it from your children to the world, like Prabhupada did. That'll keep you busy.
So there are two parts, right? So you are thinking of material well-being of your children, and you are thinking, you know, their spiritual development. So is it one part of is considered material desire? Or?
I think if you just have that spiritual desire and it's strong, you'll realize that you don't have to do the other part. Krishna will take care of that. That's why we don't worship all the demigods. We don't have to worry about all those things. We just water the root. Right now it's really hot and I have to go out and water the garden today because it's going to be 100 degrees. And if I stood there and watered all the leaves, I would probably melt them through the ground, but I just water the root. I only just get hot. But so we have to learn how to desire to please Krishna, desire for them to go back to Godhead. Krishna will take care of that. So don't skip those desires. Just don't worry about it. Less stress on you.
Thank you.
Get that spiritual desires again.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. I got sort of a visual during your class. You know how a funnel is very large on one end and then it becomes very, very narrow. And of course our funnel seems to be going upward. But it was the verse and you both stressed, yes, so many people, no matter what the situation, full of material desires or strongly desiring liberation, or if somebody actually starts off with no desires at all, that's wonderful. But we're all trying to come to the narrow point. Sometimes I find, you know, practicing Krishna, you read so many, it must be like this, and we know what the highest, highest selfless standard is. I can't always come to it, so just as we encourage other people that are just beginning, sometimes we can encourage ourselves that instead of looking at what I don't do and scowling, which I do some, but also, oh, at least I have a taste for hearing, I have a taste for reading, I love to be with the devotees, like that. So, like this Prabhu asking, well, what if I... Naturally, a parent wants their child to have a good material situation, that's just natural. But, like Akuti Prabhu said, you know, don't, not to worry. What is it? Spiritual well-being is automatically followed by material well-being. So you focus tivrena on the one part, and the other falls in line. But one other thing I thought of, because I've heard this verse so many times, Prabhupada mentions it so many times, I didn't have it in a context. But today, after hearing Chiri Krampabu's class the other day about this demigod, you know, worship this one for bank balance and that one for a good spouse and health and so many things, it reminded me of how the other very, very famous verse, Ete Chamsa Kalam Pumsam Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam, comes after listing all the different incarnations. And then, but out of all of them, Krishna is the one. So this one, you want this, you want that, you want the other, worship this one, that one, the other one. But in all cases, worship Krishna. So it's just nice, I got to see the continuity of the Bhagavatam. Thank you. Nice.
Thinking about Abhigya Prabhu's question, I was thinking in my own life, I guess, is the, like Bhagavati was saying, that it's a natural thing that we want the well-being. I guess the difference is the amount of absorption we have, what is our absorption in? Are we absorbed in getting material situation for our children, our family, or whatever, and as opposed to absorption in our serving Krishna, and those things happens in the side, so to speak. In other words, our mind, our thoughts are not pulled in day and night with those kinds of thoughts. So in other words, we do our action, but our absorption is...
How about Shiva Nandasena? Wasn't he the one that said three times or something, I'll say something?
Shiva's Thakur.
Shiva, yeah, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, that's a little extreme, yeah. Well, I'm not on that level. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, again, I guess in my own life, I realize how attached I am to certain thing. If something goes wrong or whatever, is how much my mind is absorbed or gets overtaken by those kinds of things, as opposed to continuously trying to absorb in Krishna's glories, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's holy name.
Yeah, forgetting Krishna and just thinking.
Thinking of, yeah. Values
and signs.
Yeah. And that happens during japa time. That's a good time where you can see where your mind is absorbed, yep. You know, where the attachment is, yeah. I had another request, but I don't know if you're going to, because we still have time, and I was thinking, God, you love to sing bhajans and we love to hear. It would be nice that you could, you quoted that bhajan, Yadi Gora Na Hoi, it would be so nice if you can lead all of us here. Yeah. No, you're not. But maybe for Friday for ladies' bhajans.
How about Silent Night?
That would be nice. I don't think I remember the words anymore.
I was thinking we can look at that this verse, famous verse, another angle also. Because the verse says, akama sarvakama. Sarvakama means you can have an unlimited material desire. It did not say you are limited. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradi tibrena bhakti jogena jayata purushapara. So if you look at the other angle, let's take an example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj began his journey at some point where, full of desire, he wants bigger kingdom than his father, grandfather. He wants everything material. There was no spiritual at all. So, there's nothing wrong. This verse says that it doesn't matter whatever desire you have. Akama, sarvakama, mukshakama. Whatever desire, no desire, liberation desire or 100% material desire. Come to this point. Krishna. What happened? He was a full of material desire, transformed into desireless Vaikuntha Vasi. This is the power of bhakti and Krishna.
And the Sanat Kumar brothers, they were impersonalists, and they, the power of the,
yes,
the smell of the manjari, they became
devotees.
The greatest devotees.
Yeah.
So it's very powerful.
So I think the focus should not be so much of desire, what desire. I mean, it is important introspectively. But still, our focus on this verse, what I feel, that to be attached to Krishna, just keep on going with this bhakti.
From what you're saying, Prangavinda Prabhu, so he started with all 100% material desires, but his focus, I'm assuming, that when he was performing his austerities, his mind was totally focused on Krishna, on Vasudev, and not on his material. In other words, he started off with material desires, but I'm assuming his focus 100% was on Vasudev.
He had a desire, he didn't change the desire.
No, his desire was not changed, but...
But it caused him to become desireless after.
Yeah.
But
his devotional service, my speculation is his devotional service was 100% on Vasudev.
And I'm not sure I can remember their names properly, but was it Diti who wanted a son that could kill Indra? And
yeah.
When she said, okay, and then Kashyapa told her, okay, you want this. He knew it was a wrong desire. So what you do is you do this devotional service, and he gave her a program.
Yeah.
For a whole year, she was meticulously, and her whole motive was, I want a son that can kill Indra. But then there was some mistake, and Indra knew her mind. He gets in her womb, cuts the baby, the embryo, into 7 pieces. They start crying. He cuts them in each one into 7 more pieces. They're crying some more. What are you doing? We're your brothers. And by the end of the year, the children and Indra, they were friends. And Diti also was friends because of doing devotional service. So I thought of that.
By hook or crook, Prabhupada said, somehow or other engage everybody in service, and then it'll do its work.
Sincere confessing the sincere mistake that I wanted to kill you. And then she also said, actually my original idea to do this austerity, not for achieving God, to kill you. So then Prabhupada put, I'm summarizing, Prabhupada put a beautiful purport. He says that this is required even amongst devotees. I was thinking, oh, sometimes we think bad of each other, maybe. But if we can actually confess, we can purify instantly. It's so nice. Thank you for doing this.
Why did Diti want to kill Indra?
It's a simple thing, because Indra caused her son to die.
Pardon? Mm-hmm.
Who?
Raha.
Yeah, but why Raha came? Because of Indra. Indra caused all her sons to die, get killed. So obviously he wants to take revenge. I mean,
actually, it's not our sons to have our sons to our sons to power in Indra's position.
Indra.
Yes.
The Lord descends.
He became a homeless.
Enemies of Indra.
Yeah. Indra
Krishna.